delivering the word that you've laid in my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that we all deal with in some way, shape, or form. And it starts out with this question that James, who's a half-brother of Jesus, asked at the beginning of James chapter 4, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. I encourage you to follow along, but it will also be on the screen. He starts out by asking this question: what causes fights and quarrels among you? What causes fights and quarrels among you? And you know, I like James, because James is we've been doing a series that we call Real. And Real is about, James is a half-brother of Jesus, or Bible scholars believe that he was a half-brother of Jesus. That James did not come to faith in Jesus until around the time of Jesus' resurrection. So James, can you imagine your brother telling you that he's a Messiah? So, you know, that wouldn't go over really too well with my brother if he told me that. But James observed something. James observed how the religious people lived their life and how Jesus lived his life. For the religious people, it was all a bunch of rules and a bunch of theories and a bunch of stuff. They took 10 commandments and made it into 612 commandments, and then they added some more rules on top of that. And Jesus simply lived out a life that demonstrated his faith. And James is like, wait a minute, I see that and I see this. And this is really what I believe, what God intended when he sent Jesus here on earth, what God intended for us, his people, to live like. And James is the first book that was written in the New Testament chronologically. James is like, I got to get this out. I got to tell people how to live this Christian life. And James really talks about a bunch of topics. And he talks about, you know, struggles, and he talks about trials, and he talks about love, and he talks about patience, prayer, conflict, humility. And James says, like, look, at the end of the day, if you just have a theoretical faith, it's not faith at all. And so there's a term that I've been using in the series that says, James pretty much saying, if your faith ain't being worked out for real, it ain't for real. If your faith ain't real, it ain't for real. And so James starts out in James chapter 4 asking the question, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Now, all of us get quarrels and fights, and you know, I was kind of thinking about, really, and I'm not a psychologist, but the four stages that I see people go through when they have a quarrel or they fight or somebody does something that makes them feel bad. The first thing that they do, I call them the stages of conflict. The first thing that they do is they react. Somebody does something that they don't like or says something that you don't like, you react. And your reaction can take many different ways. Some people get quiet. They get the quiet treatment, right? You know, some men have told me that they know when their wives are upset because they get quiet. And some people yell. Some people punch walls. Some people do whatever they do, they react. But then the second thing that they do right after that is they get some allies. They tell somebody. They're like, girl, they call up your girlfriend. It's like, you wouldn't believe what my old man did. Right? And so they get people on their side and somebody to boost them up. They get all the sympathy. And men, we do it too, right? Man, we call up our friends, we may go to the bar, we may do whatever we do, right? Then like, I don't go to the bar. We may go to the bar, we may go play soccer, or we may do something, and we tell the guys, man, I can't believe, man, I don't even want to go home. And then the other guy's like, yeah, we know, yeah, I feel your pain, man. Yeah, she wrong. And the third thing that we do, we kind of move on to these stages, and the third thing that we do is we seek punishment. We want them to pay. We want them to feel. They won't feel something. They gotta pay, right? And so you can't just say you're sorry. You gotta say you're sorry, but what you gonna do about it? And that's the fourth thing, which is restitution. You're like, I want it to be better than it was before. And so we go through these four stages of conflict whenever we have conflict. And And for me, I don't like to fight. Where's my wife? Is she in here? Oh, there she is. I really don't like to fight, but I like to be right. And if being right requires a fight, then that's what it takes, right, in order to be right. So when I get angry or annoyed, the first thing that I do, I'm looking at her to see if she agrees with me here. The first thing that I do is that I get really quiet. I get quiet, and then in my head, I like start thinking about, man, what am I going to say? And the next thing I do is I get sarcastic. Oh, she's like, oh, yeah, you're not supposed to agree out loud, baby. I get sarcastic. And then I see, and then I use the power of my words to, like, lash out. And that's only stage one. I haven't even gotten to stage two, three, and four yet. Remember, when I was younger, I used to do really destructive behavior. I used to punch walls. And probably the most, I turn up my music real loud. Probably the worst thing that I did was I used to get in my car, and you guys have heard the story before, and drive down the highway as fast as my little 75 Toyota Corolla could take me with the music blaring in and out of traffic just to get rid of my anger. Destructive behavior. And I thank God that he's kind of taken me away from all of that. But here's something that I know about myself. And this is something that I know about myself. There's a something in me that just wants to be right. I just want to be right. And here's something else that I know. I know I'm not proud of it, right? Because being right is like really more important to me than anything else. But I can't tell a lie. It's true. And so this battle that goes on inside of me. But here's something else that I know. And I know this because I've spoken to many of you guys, and I've interacted with many of you guys. And I know this is that I'm not alone. All of you, all of us, want to be right. And all of us like to quarrel and fight and disagree. And all of us have been on the other side of somebody who wants to be right and who's arguing, fussing, and quarreling with us because none of us want to lose. And you know, there's something that says that no matter how much we say, you know, I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to engage. We just end up doing it after a while. It's kind of like food. You can eat a big, big meal and say, you know what, I'm going to eat a big meal and I'm not going to get hungry again. And 4 hours later, you're jonesing for some ice cream. Because there's something about it that just comes back, and it's just like human nature. And if we're not careful, it consumes us. And so James starts out with really this question: what causes these fights and these quarrels among us? What causes that among us? And quarrels in the original language is like a skirmish. It's like a one battle. It's like your husband leaves the toilet seat up. No, that would be the next one. All right, let me come on. Like he says he's going to call you, and he doesn't call you after he leaves work or something like that. And you get angry because you called him, he didn't call you. But a fight in the original language is more like a war. It's something that goes on and on and on and on again. It always comes back over and over again. So one is a one-time event, and the other one is an ongoing event. And so James is like, what causes these among us? And then James goes on, and same in James chapter 4, verse 1, and he answers the question with another question. He says this. He says, don't they come from the desires that battle within you? He says, what causes it among you? And then he turns it around and he slaps you in the face with it and he says, don't they come from the battle that from your desires that battle within you? And the problem that we have here is a problem that begins here. So there's something that happened that goes on inside of here that when it happens, it comes and it just bubbles up and it comes out here. And then James goes on and I like James because James doesn't mince words. James is like, bam, in your face. And James says this, right? James says this. Ah, there we go. You desire, but you do not have. James is saying that every argument, every quarrel, every disagreement that you have starts here in your heart with a desire for something. I want Donna to do something for me that Donna is not doing. I want Donna to say something to me that Donna is not saying. I want Matthew and Jonathan to act a certain way and Jonathan and Matthew is not acting a certain way. I want Jonathan and Matthew to say something. I want my boss to validate me, to tell me that I'm doing a great job, and he doesn't even know who I am. And it says, do you have a desire, but you're not getting it? And so the first thing that James says that, hey, you got to realize this here. You got to realize this here, that this really is a game changer. Once you realize it and you own it, and it says, the problem with this, with the quarrels and fights that I have, is not the other person. The problem is right here. The problem is me. I have a desire that somebody else is not meeting. And James is saying, once you own it, then you begin to start to go through the transformation. Once you own it, then you can begin to change, because the battles come from within you. And that's tough, because we like to get allies. We like to get sympathy. We like to go out there and have the other person tell us what a no good person our boss is, or what a no good person our spouse is, even though we like don't think that we should. We just kind of like it because they're on our side, because we are right. And then James gets to the crux of the matter. He says the real issue is that we want somebody to act the way that we want them to act. We want the person who we're mad at to say the things that we want them to say. We want the person to do the things that we want them to do. And James like, this is what happens that goes on inside of you. This, you have this desire, and that's really phase number one. You have this desire, and that starts the argument process. But left unchecked, something else happens. Something else happens. This is what happens. And then same verse, it says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. James is saying that, hey, the first thing that begins is that you have this desire, and this desire is going on inside of you, and you're seething, and you're going through your stage one, your stage two, and you're getting mad, and it's like it's boiling up inside of you, and it's coming up. And then what happens as it starts to get bigger and bigger, it starts to go up into your head, and you start to compare. You start to say, why can't my wife be like Susie Q over there? Why can't my kids study more and get better grades? Why can't this? And so you start that comparison process that goes on. It starts to spill out of your mouth in this comparison thing, and it starts to get worse and worse and worse and escalate, and the arguments and the quarrels, what started out as a quarrel has now turned into a full-blown fight because of comparison. A few years ago, a friend of mine got married, and she's married for about 2 or 3 months, and she came over our house. And And I was upstairs, I was cleaning. By the way, I've learned not to go upstairs in my house. You ever been to my house? I don't go upstairs anymore because, well, you'll know, I have young people. But I was upstairs cleaning, and she came over with her husband, and she says, I'm going to change his name because some of you guys may know who this person is. She said, Johnny, why can't you be like Gary? He's a good husband. He's a good man. Her husband was right there. She goes, he don't let his wife do all the work. Man, you could have cut that ear with a knife. She started that comparison process. And in doing that, she was just like cutting his legs off. Somebody that she loves. And oftentimes, when we have quarrels and fights, the person that feels the brunt of it more is the person that we love. Because they just happen to be around us. So even if we're mad at somebody, that's who it comes out with. You know, we go through that comparison process. And then if it's left unchecked, then something else happens. It escalates. It escalates into this. It's covetousness. We covet. It says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. And that kill there is not like, so I go out and murder somebody. It's really, what it's conveying is the idea that, you ever hear somebody say this? Man, if I don't have that, I'm going to die if I don't get that. You know, it's like, if I don't get to go to the Kanye concert, I'm going to die. If I don't get to go to the, what is that other guy's name? The guy who sings that, the other rap guy? Chance the Rapper, thank you. If I don't get to Chance, I'm just going to die. Right? It's that feeling that says, I want it so much that, man, I could do that. So I'm just going to go out and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that thing, that to fulfill this desire that I have in my heart that's not being met. And that's when we get to the most dangerous parts of quarrels and fights among you. It plays out like this. Almost every single time I speak to somebody, and this is for years, about issues that they have in their relationship, it starts out something like this. My wife wasn't doing X, and there was a girl at work or at school or where who says, we're talking, we're just friends, and she says, your wife doesn't know how good she have it. She got a good man. I got a really good man. He's so good. If you were my husband, I would treat you so good. Oh, you got kids in the room. I would say something else. You would go to bed with a smile on your face every night. That's the best I can do with And guys, we do it too. We do it too. It plays out like this, that we's like, look, I don't like my boss. I'm going to get another one. Sounds like another rapper. And another one. And we go out and we covet. You know what covet means? Covet means to hotly pursue. We hotly pursue. We're like, get this, like, yeah, because they go meet my needs because you're not. And by the way, we always look at the other side and we think the grass is greener on the other side. Because at a distance, the grass always looks greener. And you get over there. And you find out it's got a whole bunch of brown spots. And you look, and it's like from the distance, it got, not only does it have grass, it got mangoes. It got big old mangoes like what was posted. Some people saw a big mango post on the internet recently that took up the whole screen. But you get over there, and you find out that the mango's got worms in there. And your little bitty mango was so sweet. Folks, the grass is always greener wherever you water it. The grass is always greener wherever you fertilize it. The grass is always greener wherever you care for it. If you want green grass and you want good sweet mangoes or whatever you eat, or whatever is your fancy, you water it, you fertilize it, you take care of it. And so we get to this stage and all of a sudden now we are at full World War III. We go from desire to comparison, to covet. that we want that. And it all comes out, and James is like, whoa, folks. Like, hold on. You got to break the cycle. You got to break the cycle of what this is, because it is going to destroy you. It is going to destroy your relationships. Every time you build that desire up inside of you, it just weighs you down like a heavy burden. And someone once said that, you know, when we have an argument with someone, we're mad at somebody, oftentimes the person doesn't even know that we're mad at them. And you're carrying this burden, and you're just walking around like life is good. And James is like, you want to know what the real issue is? The real issue is that, let's see here, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God. You're looking at the other person and you're saying, you give me, you make me, you always, you to the other person. And God's like, that desire in your heart, see, I'm the one who fills that desire. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your boss, your friends, your brother, your sister, they're all tools that I use to fulfill the desire in your heart. You look into the tool instead of looking to the source. And the source of happiness and joy comes from God. He says, you quarrel beyond each other. You quarrel among each other because you don't ask God. And you know what he says here? He says, what you got to realize, and this is the big message for today, if you take away nothing else from today, is this. True conflict resolution requires a real God solution. True conflict resolution requires a real God solution. And Jesus is saying, if you take your unmet desires, your unmet needs to me, and say, God, I need for you to fulfill it. God says, here's what I will do. Now, I know what some of you guys are probably saying, right? Gary, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say that. We're in church. You're supposed to say that. The fact of the matter is that every time I prepare one of these messages, and I sit down and I think and I pray about it, these messages slap me in the face. They slap me all over the face, because I have to come to terms with what causes Gary Wallace to fight, quarrel. Some of you are saying, you don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't know my friend. You don't know my kids. You don't know whatever. You don't know my parents. They aggravate the heck out of me. And God is saying, look, true conflict resolution requires my solution. And God is saying, like, man, let me tell you, my promises are true. He says in his word, my God shall supply all your needs. Not some, but all. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. And I like the song. We sing it at camp. He gives his angels charge over me. In other words, God has a whole ton of angels that is being dispatched to meet your needs. Let me say that one more time. God has a ton of angels dispatched to meet your needs. And some people may say, but Gary, I pray and God doesn't take it away. God doesn't make it better. And the fact of the matter is that God says this. He says, sometimes I don't take it away. You know why I don't take it away? He says, I didn't put it up on the screen there, but he said this in verse 3. It says, when you ask, sometimes you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend on your own pleasures. And sometimes we ask for the wrong things, and God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Because oftentimes we don't ask God to supply our needs. We tell God how we want him to solve it. Like, God, so here's the problem, right? My wife is nagging me to death, so I want you to make her mute. God's like, no, we're not doing that. Hey, you'll come up with something else. He says, hey, God, my kids, they keep leaving the house and they don't tell me, so take away their license. Whatever it is that you say to God, and God's like, no, that's not what I'm going to do. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get to your real unmet need. Your real unmet need. And he says, I am going to take care of that. I am God. You're not. Don't tell me the how. Tell me what you need. And let me handle the how. And you know, sometimes, even when we have the right motives, God says to us, I'm not going to meet it that way, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you something else in return, something else that's even going to be better. And some of you may say, well, why ask God if he's just going to tell me no? Why ask God if he's going to tell me no? Have you guys ever, and maybe it's only me, have you ever guys prayed about something and prayed and prayed and prayed and it doesn't come true? He's like, you could get to the point where he says, why bother? And God's like, look, here's what I do when I say no. I give you two things. I give you peace. I give you peace to be able to deal with it. And when you trust me, I give you protection. From running out there and trying to fulfill that myself, it's like, I put my angels around you and I give you protection from you going out and doing something stupid. And I give you my grace. I give you some favor. I give you that in the form of protection and peace and contentment. I give that to you when you ask him. And you know, sometimes we go to God and we say, God, we have this need. This other person is doing this. My job's this. My wife's this. My kid's this. My husband this. My friend this. My my pastor this. I know some of you guys probably talk about me. There was a song that says, you're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you. You guys know that song? Don't you? But you know, sometimes we go to God and we says, hey God, I got this problem. I just keep arguing and nothing is changing. And God's like, hey, let me handle it. Would you let me handle it? And you're like, okay, God, I'm going to let you handle it. I'm going to let you handle it. So say this is your burden here. All right, let's see. I need some burdens. It's your burden. You go, God, this is bothering me. And God says, give it to me. And we like go up and we say, okay, God, here you go. I'm leaving it for you, God. You're going to take care of her. You're going to take care of him. You're going to take care of our kids. All right, God? And God's like, yeah, I got this. Like, you got this, God? And God's like, yeah, I got this. You got it? I got this. I don't see any change, God. God's like, I got this. All right, God, thanks. And we take the burden back. And we say, we're going to go solve it ourselves. And God's saying this morning, is like, hey, guys, look, my ways are not really like your ways. neither like my thoughts, your thoughts. I got this. I got the God solution. I am the one, the source of all your needs. I am the one who gave you those people in your lives for your pleasure. And when they're not meeting the pleasure, you come back to the source. And this is what God is saying this morning. And I tell you, if you show me a man or woman who's constantly arguing with each other, if you show me siblings who are constantly arguing with each other, if you show me co-workers, bosses, project managers, constantly at odds with each other, and I'll tell you that if you start looking at God for the source of your unmet desire, here's my challenge, here's my guarantee. I guarantee the conflicts, the arguments, and the quarrels will become less and less and less and less the more you give it over to God. Show me a person, show me a husband and wife who's having arguments with each other, and I'll show you, and I'll tell you that I challenge you to say this: God, I'm asking you to fill the void of my unmet desire. A simple prayer. God, they're not doing X, Y, Z. I need for you to fill that void that's in my heart of my unmet desire. Kids, next time your mother or father aggravates you, I want you to say something like this: is God, I'm dependent on you. I'm dependent on you to be the source, to let me be happy with whatever you provide. Fill that void in my heart. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. You know, as Simone to play something, I heard somebody say it one time, and it's actually pretty true. You kind of sound more holy when somebody's like playing music behind you. Folks, I can't stress enough how important this is. You see, because what happens is that when we don't do this, we carry around this burden with us. And God wants to free us from that burden. He wants to take us to this place of freedom. And so as we go to prayer, I want you to kind of think about this. I want you to think about the people in your life, in your lives, that right now you have some issue with. I want to think about the people in your life that there's an unresolved quarrel, there's an unresolved issue, and it's causing fights and quarrels among you. And I want you to say, God, I'm laying it at your feet. Fill the void of my unmet desire. And lead me to a place of freedom. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we can find every single answer to life's issues and life's problems in your word. Lord, I pray that this words, my words this morning, Lord, that you have given to me, Lord, that will not fall on deaf ears, Lord, that we will try it out. Lord, I pray that everyone listening to my voice will come to the point where it says, God, I don't know if it will work. I've tried it before. But I'm willing to try and to give you my issue, my problem. And I'll trade it in and get the joy of the Lord in return. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be up front here. And I'm going to ask you to just rise with us. And the praise team is going to sing a song. I'm going to turn it over to Ingrid. And if you want me to, or any one of our other counselors, to kind of pray with you, to get you started in this journey of asking God to fulfill your unmet desire, I'll be right up front and be happy to do that with you. Let's please stand as we close with a song.